What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Dental Marketer Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Arias, and this is going to be another Monday morning marketing series. And guess what? This is actually recorded and done on Monday morning. Well, the intro is. The rest of the episode was done a couple days ago, but super excited to bring this episode to you. It's going to be a little bit different, but first, I want to give you guys like a disclosure. Is that what it's called? Or I don't know what it's called, but like a heads up. I want to give you a heads up. If you hear like a little baby in the background yelling and saying Michael Plato, and if you hear Sesame Street or anything like that, that's my niece. So just ignore that, and let's get straight to this episode. In this episode, I'm going to try and keep it short and sweet, guys. I really want to kind of talk about something I came across. So am I the only one, or maybe you're guilty of like signing up to a bunch of newsletters and then you kind of never open them up, or you never look at them? Or maybe you sign up to a software, you use it once, you do the like the 30-day free trial, the 7-day free trial, you do the free trial, and then you're like, I don't want to use it anymore, right? And so you never use it no more. Basically, that's what I do a lot. Like, I have a whole separate email just for that, right? And in this email, okay, so I used to use how many of you guys are familiar with Trello? Trello. It's like a what is it? A calendar type scheduler type of deal, right? For your team, it's for productivity, workflow, and things like that. So, anyways, I use it. I used to use it all the time. I should probably go back to using it. I don't know. I use Slack, but and Trello. Anyways, I use it. I used to use it, and they kind of send you stuff from their blog, right, in their newsletter. And one thing I came across where I was like, huh, and I decided to click and read it. Fantastic article, and I'm going to link it to the bottom, and that's what we're going to kind of talk about today. The title of the article is How to Be Your Most Productive Self. Let go of being perfect. And I don't want to say I'm basically going to read it word for word, but there's parts where I was like, I should leave this part and take this part out, leave this part and take, but I'm like, it's all so good. And I think it applies to a lot of us, because here's the thing. We try to be perfect. No, we don't try to be perfect. The things we do try to portray like perfectionism, right? Like for example, I remember when I created the ground marketing course, right? The first ever ground marketing course, I was thinking like, what should the name be? What's the unit? All these things. But I could have still been here thinking about how should I create that course? Or how should I, you know, do whatever? This has to be perfect. The logo has to be perfect. Or if you put it in your business, right? The employees have to be perfect. The scripts have to be perfect. The chairs have to be perfect. The paint is not the right color. You know what I mean? You can keep going. The economy is not the right time to buy right now, or whatever. And you're never going to get all the perfect conditions, guys. And I know you heard that time and time again. But I'm going to start. Like, the article starts off by saying, we live in an era of overachievement. And in this era, flaunting those achievements, basically in social media, right, is totally the norm. And that's true. Like, social media, nobody ever posts up their struggles, right? But have you noticed when you do post up your struggle, how much more relatable is it? How many times do people come up to you or write to you and like, I understand, I know what you mean, like I feel you, you know what I mean? But what outweighs that more is still the overachievements, right? People post up like, if they're going to the gym, that's a sense of achievement. If they just ate healthy, that's a sense of an achievement, right? If they went vegan for like 2 days, they start posting up everything they eat, right? Nobody ever posts up their failure, like, oh, eating meat again, right? Or, oh, didn't go to the gym after I said I was going to go the next day. Or not eating healthy, eating a burger now. Nobody wants that. Pretty much everyone's achievements are on full display at all times. It can be easy to get caught up in the idea that perfect is the new black, right? And if you want to be successful in today's hyper-competitive culture, you need to be perfect too. And that is so, like, I like this part right here where it says, if you subscribe to this idea that perfection is a prerequisite for success, you're not alone. Perfectionism is on the rise in a major way, with studies finding significant jumps in the prevalence of perfectionist tendencies over the last 3 decades. So guys, like, it's growing, right? It's growing. Perfectionism is growing. The perfect body, the perfect mindset, the perfect business, the perfect car, it's growing. And here's the thing. Perfect and productive aren't the same thing. And while you might think perfectionism is the key to racking up more achievements and getting more done, the truth is, perfectionism is actually counterproductive. And so the article goes on and on, right? Like, it tells you, you need to understand perfectionism, meaning it's defined as the refusal to accept any standard short of perfection. And I know a lot of the times we think that, and you know what? A lot of the times our bosses are like that too. I remember I had a boss that he just asked for like the most ridiculous things. And it was more like, hey man, I can't do that. I don't know how to do that, right? And figure it out. And I would. And I guess that's a good lesson too, because you know, you learn as you go. But still, nobody's perfect, right? So anyways, most experts agree that there are three types of perfectionism. Self-oriented perfectionism, which occurs when people are highly critical of themselves. Other-oriented perfectionism, that occurs when people are highly critical of others. And socially prescribed perfectionism, this occurs when people think others expect them to be perfect and then pressure themselves to be perfect in order to meet those expectations. Man, that's hard. But where does this need come from, right? Like, where does the need to be perfect come from? So the article continues to say there's a lot of how our upbringing and where we're at, the need of perfection comes from there. So, for example, in competitive work environments, in some situations, perfectionism is a direct result of the environment. So in other words, if you work in a culture that demands perfection, chances are you'll start demanding perfection right along with it. And that's true. I remember in a book called Atomic Habits, and I believe it's by James Clear, and he talks about habits, right? Growing habits. And how do you change your habits? Or how do you accumulate better habits, right? And get rid of bad ones. And something that I thought was interesting that he says is like, one main thing we need to do is sometimes we just need to change our environments if we want to stop doing a habit or stop doing something bad, right? People say like, you know, tell me who your friends are and I'll tell you who you are. Or people also tell you like, hey, you know what? Like, you are what the five friends you surround yourself with or what you surround yourself around, right? That's what you are. So if you're like trying to quit smoking, but your friends are always smoking, you're going to continue to smoke, right? If you are trying to come up, right? If you're trying to, for example, and this has happened to me, like if you're trying to start a business, right? If you're trying to start a dental practice or you're just trying to move up, you want to become a dentist or so forth or something else, right? But then your friends or the people around you, your family are like, nah, you know, just get a job that pays. You don't have to worry about like the stress of like, when's my next check going to come? If you're a business owner, what about the economy? All these things, right? And yeah, you can fall into that and then say, you're right. You know, I'm just going to work here and be comfortable. So change the environment, right? If you hang around with people who are successful serial entrepreneurs and so forth, then yeah, your mindset's going to change completely. Another thing of why perfectionism comes to our mind is pride and personality. Some people have personalities that are just more naturally susceptible to perfectionism. Dr. Laura Hamill, she wrote, perfectionism can be reinforced by organizational culture when the norms, values, and beliefs of an organization are characterized by fear of making a mistake and lack of trust. So, though perfectionism isn't really considered in psychological science to be a personality trait, in and of itself, it is highly related to the five major personality traits called neuroticism. I hope I said that right. So people that have higher neuroticism tend to experience negative emotions such as anxiety much more easily than those lower in neuroticism, says a doctor, Dr. Baker. So anxiety is one of the many reasons people might be perfectionistic. So it follows that someone high in neuroticism might be easily anxious, which can also be associated with perfectionistic concerns. So that's interesting too, because if you are anxious all the time, right? Man, maybe is it because things need to be perfect? And that's a category I fall under. I mean, I completely understand that as well. Like, so many times, guys, like every time there's a course launch or I don't know, something where I have to travel and do a new series or something about the podcast. Jeez, I mean, am I anxious? I can't even sleep. I can't sleep because things have to go perfect, at least according to me. And that is, wow, that really opened my eyes to see, like, stop. Nothing's going to be perfect, right? And I just read that. So just reading that alone, like, took a load off my, like, it feels like a bunch of weight was taken off my shoulders, right? Like, oh my God, I've just been anxious this whole time. Another reason why we think perfectionism, why we may have this trait, perfectionism, or not trait, but like personality, I guess trait, might be because of a deep-seated fear of failure and how failure reflects on them as a person. So people who are afraid of failure and who correlate failing at something to actually being a failure themselves are also more likely to struggle with perfectionism. So if they have the mindset that equates less than perfect as failure, and they see failure as a reflection of their own self-worth, then they will strive for perfection as self-preservation. That's hard too. That's really, really hard. This is something I wouldn't say like I've beaten, but I'm better at it now than before. Failure, I see it as a learning process, right? You never learn. I mean, you don't learn from wins. And I think Jay-Z said it, like, he hasn't even figured out how he can learn from success. He can only learn from his mistakes. And mistakes are failures, right? I wouldn't even call it failure. I would just say they're mistakes, right? And you're going to learn from that. And then if you continue to go, right, if you continue with your business and learn from that failure and not do it again, I mean, you're taking a step forward, right? You're putting an extra brick to your empire, right? Instead of, you know, just leaving it there and then saying, okay, it's unfinished, this empire. I'm not going to build this house. I'm not going to build this business. It's unfinished. Let's just move on, right? So fear of failure, guys. Just do it. Like, you're going to fail. You're going to make mistakes. And I know you hear that time and time again, but like, you will. And I'm telling you, like, you have to in order to learn, right? That's what makes a great business. That's what makes a great story. That's what makes a great product, right? You find out the mistakes, you find out what people are failing at, and then you can create a product with that, a service, whatever, right? So don't have fear of failure. Another way how perfectionism threatens productivity is perfectionism makes it challenging to get things started. And yep, I know a lot of us have felt that way in a sense, like, oh, things gotta be perfect and this and that, and they don't, right? It's like, that's just procrastinating analysis, paralysis by analysis, right? You're just analyzing, and you never pull the trigger. So many times, a lot of you listening have wanted to start a podcast. Start it. Like, you don't have to wait till you have the perfect mic or the perfect computer or the perfect anything, right? Like, all I did was literally, I just had, I think, a Dell laptop and a $50 mic. And you know what? To this day, I still use that $50 mic. And that's it. I mean, you just start the podcast. And that can be along with anything. Sometimes you're not going to have... How many times do we see in the startup group, right, where people are... they don't have everything put together yet, and they're already getting new patients in. But that's because you have to start. So people who are concerned about perfection often have a hard time getting started with their work. They're so worried about doing things perfectly, they feel paralyzed to get started, and their work suffers as a result. And even if you do get started, perfectionism prevents you from doing your best work. That's another thing, guys. So, like, let's just say you do overcome your perfectionist tendencies to get the ball rolling on a project. Chances are it's going to hold you back from doing your best work. Productivity is not just about quantity of work, it's also about the quality of work. Having unreasonably high expectations for yourself absolutely can limit your ability to do your best work. And that's because perfectionism can get in the way of trying new things, taking risks, and it can stifle our ability to innovate. And we don't want that. we don't want that, guys. You want to be always taking calculated risks, right? And you also always want to try new things. That's how your business is going to grow, right? So do that. Perfectionism can also mess with team dynamics. So if your perfectionism is like other-oriented, right? Remember, other-oriented was one of the three, and it doesn't just affect you and your productivity, it can have a serious impact on your team. So if you have unrealistic expectations about how your team should perform and are disappointed whenever they inevitably fall short of perfect, it's impossible to create an environment that fosters growth, authenticity, and connection that way, guys. And also, your team can also take a major hit like that. You know, nobody likes that person. Dr. Baker says people who are concerned about perfection often... Oh, wait, no. Yep, Dr. Baker says perfectionism can lack humanity. Dr. Hamill says that. Not only do perfectionists tend to treat themselves in unforgiving ways, they also set a standard, especially if they're in a management or leadership position, that is unrealistic and unsustainable for others. This can create a climate where people don't feel like they can be themselves. And it's one way we lose the humanity of work. So that's pretty deep, guys. Don't require perfectionism from your employees. That is hard, right? Because you want things done well and you want them done right. But at the same time, you should know if it's like, dang, that's almost nearly impossible, but they can do it. And if they do it, great, right? That's fantastic. If they don't, figure out why. Continue to always ask why. In the book Principles by Ray Dalio, he tells us to always continue to ask why. Why wasn't this done this way? Okay, why didn't you do it that way? Oh, is it because you were told differently? Okay, so why did the manager tell you differently? Okay, manager, why did you tell them that way? And the manager's like, this is how I understood it from you. Okay, why did you understand it like that from me? And then, you know, maybe you should have said it differently. It might link back to you, or maybe the person is just incapable. So that's a good way. So how can we let go of perfect and get more done in the process? So one thing they suggest, remember, letting go of perfection increases productivity. One thing they suggest is to start small. So if you've been struggling with perfectionism for a long time, the thought of throwing caution to the wind and settling for good enough instead of perfect, that's a pretty big project, right? It can feel overwhelming, but that's okay. When it comes to loosening the grip of perfectionism, baby steps are the way to go. So see what happens when you are not perfect. Experiment, guys, with letting some small things go. For example, like finish a project slightly before you see it as perfect. Send an email to a colleague without proofreading it first. Admit to a coworker when you are having a hard time getting started with something. You'll start to see over time that these imperfections do not lessen people's opinion of you. In fact, you might find that they see you as more relatable because you are human. And then once you get comfortable letting go of the need to be perfect with the small stuff, it makes tackling perfectionism that goes along with bigger, more important stuff a whole lot easier. So, you know, where it counts, don't require perfectionism, right? But as projects get bigger and bigger, right? Yeah, maybe proofread a little bit more, do more things, right? But then you'll notice, like, for example, if you're starting a podcast, you don't have to delete all the ums and the right? You don't have to delete all the noises and everything. People find personality in mistakes. So it's okay. Number two is put yourself in someone else's shoes. So if you struggle with self-oriented perfectionism, you're incredibly hard on yourself. So if you want to let go of the need to be perfect, try to put yourself in someone else's shoes. If you catch yourself wanting to keep working on things to the point of perfection, ask yourself what you'd say if your coworker was in your position. So ask yourself, what would your coworker say, right? Would you tell them to keep working, or would you encourage them to stop at good enough? And if you tell your coworker to stop at good enough, you can tell yourself to stop there too. Number three is set time parameters on your project. So if your perfectionism, either A, where it makes it hard to start your projects, or B, where it makes it hard to finish projects, then the best thing you can do for yourself is, you know, set a time, put parameters around it. Make a commitment to yourself to work on a certain project for a set period of time. This is also known as the Pomodoro technique. So for example, say to yourself, let's just say you're telling yourself, I'm going to work on this presentation for the next 90 minutes. Once that 90 minutes is up, you're done, whether you think the project is perfect or not. This is actually really good, guys. Now, I don't really do it this way, but so this is how my day kind of goes, right? Like I wake up, go to the gym, and then after that, I do something called productivity time, where I'll set maybe 3 to 4 hours, put my phone on do not disturb, and then like I'll look at my journal, right, on what I have to do for the day, and there's something on there where it's like blocked out productivity time. And what that means is like, okay, in that moment, no calls, no anything, nothing's gonna happen. I put focus playlist on Spotify, and I'll just do work, right, for that 4 hours. Once the timer goes off, that's it, 4 hours. I go out, get coffee, or maybe eat, right, my fast might break, whatever, right. It's probably around 12 p.m. one, and that's when I'll, you know, get out of my office and eat something, and that's it. But I feel so accomplished, because I'm like, okay, the important stuff got done, right, and productivity time. And it doesn't have to be 3 to 4 hours, it can be 1 hour, 30 minutes, right? But just make sure you have that time where you set time parameters. And if you're still not like, oh, productivity time is not done, whatever, right, then still make it four. I always say make it 4 hours max, then you can have a break or whatever, right, then come back and maybe add an extra hour to it or so forth once you're done, or answer emails and then do it, right? Like, for example, like the social media, the emails, and a lot of other things, that's not part of productivity time. That can be done whenever, right? It's more the stuff that, I guess, grows the business or grows the work or actually makes things happen. That's the productivity time, at least in my eyes. You let me know if you think that way too or not. Number four is prioritize your perfectionism. So prioritizing your perfectionism allows you to apply your perfectionistic tendencies toward the areas of your work that truly are important to you. So for example, maybe your top priority at work is to be a great public speaker. So pour all your perfectionistic tendencies into preparing for your presentations, and then make a commitment to settle for good enough everywhere else. Decide what you feel strongly about and what you don't. Prioritize your perfection. That's it. Don't sweat the small stuff. And that's basically it, guys. That's the article. Setting strict parameters on a project will help keep your perfectionisms from getting in the way of actually getting things done. And the more you realize that done is better than perfect, the easier it will be to power through work. So yeah, guys, I know this is a little bit of a different episode, but I feel like this is something we kind of all need to remember, right? Time and time after again, we are bombarded with perfectionism everywhere, right? Social media, TV, billboards, magazines, anywhere, right? And in my mind and in my eyes, it doesn't look like it's letting up, right? It doesn't look like that so much, but there are people who are, you know, just kind of telling you like, hey, just get it done, man. It doesn't matter, right? So if you want to be more productive, analyze yourself, right? Maybe is it because, are you having perfectionistic tendencies? And if it is, you know, apply some of the things that you learned in this episode. So let me know if you like episodes like this a little bit more, where it's just kind of, you know, a little bit of a break from marketing and, you know, business. It's more like, hey, let's take care of ourselves, right? So I'm going to put a link to the article below too as well. So if you guys want to read it thoroughly, and so forth. And yeah, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Don't forget to follow me on Facebook and Instagram under The Dental Marketer. And also, if you listen to this, actually, by the time you're listening to this, the first ever ground marketing course is already closed for enrollment. And if you missed it and you want to get it when it opens up for enrollment again, I'll put a link to the waiting list in the show notes below too as well, okay? Thank you guys so much for always supporting. I hope you enjoyed it. And I apologize if you heard like Elmo in the background or anything like that. I'll probably put like a little snippet of my niece talking to you guys for a little bit. And then, I'll leave you guys off with that. So thank you so much for tuning in, and I'll talk to you guys soon. Who do you like more, Peppa or Dora?
Peppa and Dora.
But who do you like more?
Peppa.
Peppa, yeah. Or Doc McStuffins or Peppa?
Peppa.
Who do you like more, Peppa or George?
George.
Yeah, it's all about George. Do you like boots from Dora?
Yeah, boots from Dora.
Do you want a popsicle?
Yep.
What's your favorite color?
Red.
Red?
Yep.
I thought it was purple. Do you like... Uh-huh.
I like purple.